Welcome to a podcast of the Mike Novak Show. You can listen to Mike live Sunday mornings from 9 to 11 Central on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
If you put them outside, the squirrels will eat them. I'm not saying don't put them outside, but if you put them outside, the squirrels will eat them. I didn't have room inside, so I put them outside, and the squirrels ate them, one by one. They only ate half of each one begun. They're no good to me now, and they no longer hold attraction to the squirrels. The squirrels come back for the ones untouched, because I put them outside, and the squirrels are eating them. They'll soon be gone, and the squirrels will be fat. I knew that when I put them outside. I knew the squirrels would eat them. I knew that if you put them outside, the squirrels will eat them.
Live from the beautiful Showcase Studios on North Milwaukee Avenue in Chicago, in between Andy's Deli and Lido Banquets, and just a pierogi's throw away from the Polish capital of the Western Hemisphere, it's The Mike Novak Show, Chicago's only locally broadcast deep green gardening and environment program, heard every Sunday right here on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
Good planets hard to find. Temperate zones and tropic climes, true currents and thriving seas, wind blowing through breathing trees, strong ozone and safe sunshine. Well, good planets are hard to find. Good planets are in demand.
This hour of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees, our business's people and their love for trees. He's a legendary, charismatic megafauna in his own mind. Here he is, Mike Novak.
Good planets are in the main, right?
I like it when my guests check in on me and my guests call me as the theme is running and saying, hey, am I supposed to be on the radio right now?
No, I'm just so excited.
Well, no, it's good because, you know, it's better than the guest not showing up at all. that was my, you didn't hear it, but the phone, and it's a good thing that he called during the theme because my phone was on full, you know, it was, I hadn't muted it. So I'm glad it rang when.
Well, I'm watching over the station today, and I'm just glad there wasn't a station-related
and that's
concern.
That's the scary part. Denny is in control here today, all right?
Station sitting for the weekend.
If you cat sit, all you do is you put out a little food and water. What happens when you station sit?
Put out a little food and water?
That's it.
That doesn't work. No, that was.
I thought that did work.
So far, okay. We've been doing all right. We're on the air. We're doing good.
Yay!
You're doing a good job.
Oh, well, thank you for the thing there.
You can
thank you.
Yeah, yeah, but you know, Mike Sanders, and it was weird. First of all, there's no cars in the parking lot.
Yeah.
There's nobody in the station except Denny. He was snoozing when I came in. No, he wasn't. No, he wasn't, kids. He was wide awake.
I think we should get a cot. Just
well, for some people.
Emergency.
Yeah. Why, are you feeling tired? Is that why?
Not me.
Oh, okay.
Me.
And, of course, the lovely Sarah Batka here.
Buenos dias.
Very nice for our Spanish friends.
That was good.
What about Dziękuję for our Polish friends?
How y'all doing for our hillbilly?
you had to go down that road.
Howdy.
Okay. For our English-speaking friends. No, I'm sorry. Our American-speaking friends. There we go. We don't speak English. We speak American. Lordy. A shout-out to Dennis Seddon. And I don't know if it's Seddon or Seddon, but he's the one who sent me the squirrel thing at the top of the show.
Yeah, that was bizarre.
It's poetry. He did this little, and he pops these things online, and he said, you might be interested in
this. I like
that. I like it, too.
I was looking it up. I was trying to Google it to see who it was. I couldn't find anything.
No. You will hear that only on The Mike Novak Show.
Nice. An exclusive.
An exclusive.
I'm thinking I'm gonna be dinging that bell all day. Anyway.
That's two before 9:07.
Yeah.
And by it just hit 9:07. There we go.
And how much is a shout-out if you really can't say the last name right? I mean, that kind of depreciates the shout-out value, right? I mean, I'm assuming.
Now you're busting my chops. It's not even 9:08, and you're busting my chops. Steve knows who he is.
Okay.
And he's probably not listening. So it probably doesn't matter, see?
Okay.
And while I'm at it, just for no particular reason, do you want to shout-out to somebody? Anybody? You got a shout-out here? Sarah?
Well, you know who I want to hear from is we haven't heard from Zamboni in a while.
Yeah, Zan. Yeah. I don't know if she's, you know, sometimes she can listen. I think she's got hockey on Sunday mornings. I'm not exactly sure.
Zamboni, we miss you.
It's actually Zan Boney.
Oh, okay.
Not M, but N, Zan.
Was that just a hockey joke or is that true? Like really played hockey?
No, she really, I think.
Yeah, she's a hockey mom.
She's a hockey mom.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Cool.
So that's why she can't do this. You got a shout out there, Denny?
I know Sarah's neighbor was listening at one time.
Frank.
Where's he at? Is Frank still on? Is he listening?
Probably.
All right.
Is. My mom's listening. We got a lot of master gardeners listening.
Yeah. Right. You know.
Good morning, my beloveds.
You know, and she is mother hen to the Chicago, the Cook County Master Gardeners.
All right.
Sarah Batka, I saw you had like two things you sent out this week, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep, we're pretty busy.
Yeah. It's that time. You know, it's always that time of year, though.
School's back in season. We're getting a lot of school requests. Mm.
To bring in Master Gardeners. And what kind of things do Master Gardeners do in schools?
We have great programs that we can present, like the Great Plant Escape to teach kids.
What's the Great Plant Escape?
It's a program that we have for third to fifth grade kids to teach kids about the value of plants and uses for them, basic botany.
So they learn about ornamentals, they learn about vegetables, they learn about just the different things that plants do, how they grow.
And it's like a little, they presented in a
because adults
detective
don't,
case.
Yeah, well, you know, you could try that on adults and they wouldn't know either. It's like, you know, I try to tell people, okay, here's what you need with plants. You need really good soil, you need light, and you need water. And some nutrients would be nice occasionally. And it's really not that hard. You can figure it out. So it's good that we get the kids rolling on that.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, our phone number here, we're going to start the show with Doug Tallamy, who's written a wonderful book, and he wrote it several years ago. In fact, yeah, Denny, let's get him on board.
On it.
Professor and chair of entomology and wildlife ecology at the University of Delaware. He wrote a book called Bringing Nature Home, and this is weird because I had him on the show 4 years ago, and I couldn't believe it was already 4 years. And he had written the book, I think, a year and a half before then. excuse me. And it's a wonderful, wonderful book. And he's doing a lecture next week for the Wild Ones of DuPage County.
And it's sold out.
But he's
got full house.
If you go, why are you going to be there? Did you get a ticket?
No, I didn't.
But he's got other talks coming up, and we'll talk about that a little bit. And so we'll have him talk about his book in a second. In the second hour, it's kind of anything goes. So I was going to say the phone number 773-763-9278. Write it down now. Call us at 10 o'clock. And we'll talk about anything. I mean, I got a lot of stuff that I put up on the website. Go to MikeNovak.net, this week's show. A whole bunch of items of interest, including our very own friend of the show, Snappy J Dog.
All right.
Who's got three bells, and it's before 9:12.
You're out of control.
I am. I can stop me now.
Take the bell.
Take the bell away from him. She's having an apple pie bake-off for her community garden in Forest Park.
Awesome.
Well, you got to participate?
Heck yeah.
Have you got a good apple pie recipe?
Sure. Well, I'm good at eating it.
No, that's not the way it works.
Yes, it does.
And we got a lot of stories I put up there today, just really interesting stuff that we might get to. One of them about Durango, Colorado is having a debate about whether to put pesticides on lawns. I mean, we talked last week to Nikki Jabour in Nova Scotia and how Canada is leading the way. Canada. We're following Canada. You know, that's just...
Like Hal Spark says, mega worldwide.
Mega worldwide. Maybe. But I'm saying United States trailing Canada once again.
But Mike, I have to say that was probably the coolest show ever.
And that was awesome.
That's part of our problem is to live up to last week's show. How do we do that?
Well, I actually got a radio station in Switzerland, gardening. I don't know if we'll understand them. But we're going to do it.
Well, which language are they going to be speaking? Because they speak, you know, German there. They speak Italian there. They speak French there.
I don't think we'll get past hello. But you know what? I think...
Bonjour!
We're doing it. You know, a weekly thing.
Okay. So anyway, the city of Durango is in a debate about whether to use pesticides on city property like schools. You know, the whole 2,4-D and the lawn care stuff. And good for them. They're battling it out over there. Don't forget that Greentown Highland Park coming up this week. Cities Alive, the 10th annual Green Roof and Wall Conference is in Chicago this week also. Lots going on. Cermak Road in Chicago has something called the Cermak Blue Island Sustainable Streetscape. Who'd have thunk? Cermak. Going green. And other stuff. We'll get to that. 773-763-9278. Let us immediately go to the phones and bring in Professor Doug Tallamy from the University of Delaware. Doug, how are you?
I'm fine, Mike. How are you?
I'm great. Now, is it Dr. Tallamy or just Professor?
Well, either one.
Well, no. See, I did.
Professor, but... Well, you can call me Doug. That'll work.
All right, Doug is good. I you know, when I'm trying to get this right on the website, and I actually in your bio online for your book, it didn't say whether you were Dr. Tallamy. It said you were a professor. But
I have a doctorate, but that's not important. So
to some people, it is. You know, I don't know if you, Doug, I don't know if you'd made the cut if you weren't a doctor here on my show, okay?
Oh, well, okay. Well, then I am a doctor.
And you just play one on the radio, actually. And this coming week, you're going to be doing a talk. Actually, you're all over the Midwest right now, this week. You done speaking in Indianapolis the other day.
I got back last night from Indianapolis, go to Bloomington tomorrow. And Chicago on Friday, I guess.
Wow. And you're not just sticking around? See, I wanted you to come into the studio, hang out in the area, and then come in and sit here in the studio with me.
I have this day job, you know, that I have to go to occasionally.
So. Oh, you mean that little university, that Delaware place? Yeah.
Yeah, where that PhD thing comes in.
See, that's where they care about it. Not so much on my show.
Yeah, they do.
And I'm going to give a credit where credit is due. The Greater DuPage chapter of Wild Ones is bringing you in next Saturday. Now, if you want to go to that, if you're listening to this and you want to go see Doug speak, that ain't going to happen. As Sarah pointed out, it's sold out. Actually, and that's a misnomer because they didn't actually sell tickets. All you had to do is make a reservation. However... If you want to go to the Illinois Prairie chapter of the Wild Ones, and that is in Bloomington, Illinois, tomorrow. Yeah, well, that's what I looked it up. It seems like it's actually at the Astroth Community Education Center Auditorium, Heartland Community College, right?
I hope.
All right.
Sounds good, Mike. I don't know where it is.
They just put you in a limo, right?
And no, not a limo, but somebody takes me where I'm supposed to be.
Okay. Well, it's in Bloomington tomorrow, October 15th, and that's at 7 p.m. But the other thing is you're also going to be here Saturday, February 2nd at the University of Illinois at Chicago for the Wild Things 2013 conference.
Right.
You're just a party animal here, aren't you?
Well, yeah, except we don't usually party when I'm there. So.
Well, that's the problem. If you, I tell you what, if you bring me there, there will be party.
Oh, okay.
It will happen. All right. Now that we've got. Oh, and the other thing I have to say to make the folks in DuPage happy, and I want to make them happy because they're the ones who alerted me to your being here. Their talk next week was put together with help from the Illinois Native Plant Society, the Forest Preserve District of DuPage County, the Conservation Foundation, Sierra Club River Prairie Group, and the Forest Preserve District of Will County. A lot of groups banded together because obviously you're very, very expensive, Doug.
Now, you see why I never know where I'm talking. Look at all these people I'm talking to.
And they're all going to be in one room. And now that, and that's all the time we have, Doug. I got to let you go.
Okay.
Actually, no. The reason, of course, is that you wrote a fabulous book. When did it originally come out?
November 2007.
Okay. Wow. So I didn't even, I got you about a year after it came out. In 2008, you were on my show, and I had only been on the air here for about 4 or 5 months when we did that. And I don't even remember how I found out about your book, but I was very excited to read it. And to this day, you owe me money because every talk I go to, I tell people to buy it.
Okay, well, you know, I get 51 cents for each book, so I will pay up.
Well, and the point is you've sold, as you told me, about 45,000 books for a book on horticulture. That's not shabby at all.
That's a good start.
It is, and it is just a start. I know you revised
the book. You know, I figured there are 310 million people in this country. They all need to read it, so we've got a ways to go.
Well, I'd love to see you sell, especially if you're cutting me a check for whatever we sell. And folks, if you want the book, go to my website, mikenovak.net. Go to this week's show. It's called Bringing Nature Home, How Native Plants Sustain Wildlife in Our Gardens. Now, a number of you listening will say, oh, okay, it's the old native plants again. Yeah, we know about native plants. They're really good. They're not very spectacular compared to other plants, but they're okay. And what surprised me about the book when I read it the first time was you came up, you went down a different path with this. And in effect, and I don't want to put too fine a point on it, but you were saying, you know, it's possible that the health of our planet depends on putting natives in our backyards. Let's say that is the case. Why would that be the case, Doug?
Well, you know, what you're really saying is the health of our planet depends on functioning ecosystems. And there's no debate about that. We need ecosystems to function, to produce ecosystem services, to keep humans happy. So when we're talking about the health of our planet, we're really talking about the health of human populations. And that's where the native plant thing comes in, because natives are far better at producing ecosystem services. They are better at supporting food webs that support all the other living things that drive the ecosystems that make those services. So that's the vital link there.
And the other thing you point out in the book is that over the course of several centuries here on the North American continent, and certainly over the whole world, we've lost more and more habitat, and it's not just the native plants, but it's the other native species, the birds, the mammals, the insects, and so forth. When do we get to critical mass, Doug?
Well, you know, that is a critical point, that there's very little nature out there that is functioning happily anymore. So if we're going to preserve all these living things that we need to preserve, we need to do it where humans are. So we need to do it in our yards. We need to do it where we work, where we farm. We can't rely on that little woodlot down the street anymore because it's simply not big enough. So that's kind of another new message here, is that conservation and humans can go hand in hand if we decide to share the spaces that we occupy instead of simply exclude other living things. We haven't actively tried to exclude. We just have only landscaped with aesthetics in mind, saying, you know, we're trying to create these picture postcard settings out there that never change. We mow the dickens out of them so that they look absolutely perfect.
Well, and I have to jump in when you say that. We're talking lawns, okay, folks?
Well, lawns are always part of it.
Yeah, it's always a part of that scenario. And like you say, mow the dickens out of it. And some people, there's people out there who consider lawns to be biological deserts. And that is because there's not nearly the activity and the diversity in a lawn area that there is in if you plant forbs and shrubs and trees and other things.
Exactly. And that's because of all of what plants are doing. Plants are beautiful, and we use them as decorations, but they also have these vital ecological services they provide us. They're the ones that are driving all the food webs, and the more plants you have in an area, the more life you have. So lawn is a plant, but it's a tiny fraction of the plant life that used to be in that space, and it only supports the tiny fraction of the diversity of life that used to be supported there. So when you cover the earth with lawn, you have lost most of life. And then the ecosystems don't function, and then humans are going to suffer. So it's not that we have actively tried to exclude other things. We just haven't thought about it. We keep thinking that, you know, they'll be happy down the street in the woodlot. But the woodlot's gone now. So we've got to restore functioning ecosystems right in our neighborhoods.
You bring up a really good point, and I'm talking to Doug Tallamy, who's the author of Bringing Nature Home. I'm telling you, pick up the book if you don't have it already. You talk about the woodlot down the street, and you and I grew up, we're kind of contemporaries, and I can remember being a kid, and you talk about this sort of thing in your book, where you wandered down the block, there was a little pond, and I can remember finding tadpoles in the pond, and we'd watch them, and we'd put them in a little cup, and we'd bring them home, and try to, you know, we'd lose them somewhere along the way, but the idea that there was this life, and we could go someplace and find it. Boy, we have taken that away from the generations that are growing up now, haven't we?
Yeah, in so many places, we've absolutely sterilized our neighborhoods, all seeking that picture perfect setting, and we've also demonized nature. We've convinced our kids if they go outside, something evil's going to happen to them. So we've really gone the full yard there, trying to keep our kids safe. But in the meantime, they're no longer allowed to explore or discover other life forms. And you know, Richard Loeb said it best when he wrote Last Child in the Woods. He said, "Our kids are the future stewards of the planet, and if they don't develop an emotional relationship with the things they're supposed to be stewarding, they're going to be lousy stewards." And this planet can't take any more lousy stewardship. So we've got to reconnect the kids and ourselves with nature. It's absolutely fascinating and to me far more entertaining than anything that's electronic.
Well, it's a good thing. I'm glad you brought that up because yesterday I was on the Home Improvement Show here on WCPT Mighty House. And they got into a whole discussion about centipedes. And I called in and I said, hey, you know what? Centipedes are the good guys. Spiders are the good guys. If we get to this point where, and people were calling in and say, here's how you kill them. Here's how you get rid of them. Here's how you exclude them. Well, they're just doing their jobs. They're just living their lives. And they're also there to provide food for other critters.
That's right. They're part of that food web.
Right,
we had this really twisted view of risk assessment. We will get in our car without thinking about it, even though 45,000 people are killed every year in their car, and yet we're worried about centipedes where no one is killed and almost no one is bitten.
Right, and we go, ew, and our whole reaction to it is irrational, is visceral and irrational. It makes no sense at all, and then we foster this. We pass this along to future generations. Ew, it's a spider. Kill it. Ew.
Yeah.
What is that? That's just insane.
It will spray where we live, our bedrooms and our bathrooms and everything, with toxic things. Breathe it in as if that is a much better option than having a centipede walk across the floor.
Mm-hmm.
We're curious.
Yeah, we just have lost all track of what nature is, and
that's that demonization of nature. If it's moving, it's bad. You got to get it.
Yeah, And as you point out in your book, and I'm going to have to break here in a second, but I want to get to this point. As you point out in your book, if you kill all the centipedes, if you kill all the spiders, if you kill all the critters that you don't like, well, guess who doesn't have them then? And not just kill them, but exclude them. You put in your lawn and you don't have habitat for those insects. We begin to lose insect biomass. And then who suffers? Well, the birds suffer, and the mammals who subsist on insects suffer. And then it works its way up the chain, doesn't it?
That's right. And it's, you know, it's not an option for birds to eat something else when they're reproducing. 96% of our birds rear their young on insects and those spiders you're talking about. So if you remove them, you have removed the food that the birds feed their young. You can't just put out the bird seed and expect the birds to rear their young on that, because they baby birds don't eat bird seed. They don't eat those berries that we're putting in our yards. So we need insects to have bird reproduction, and you need reproduction to have birds. So, you know, I talk about birds because people like birds. We, you know, we've got 70 million birders in the country, and they're beautiful. They're what's left of the megafauna that we appreciate these days. But they're in steep decline because of a number of reasons, but excluding them from our landscapes is a major one.
And I know you didn't catch the beginning of the show, but you realize, of course, that I am a charismatic megafauna myself.
Well, now I know. That's, we've got to preserve you then.
I think so. Well, if you want to do that, just throw some money my way, okay?
Yeah, okay.
Right. That's Doug Tallamy, author of Bringing Nature Home. He's speaking next week at the DGP Wild Ones. We're going to get back. When we do, Doug, I want to talk about the study you did in your own backyard with the chickadees.
Okay.
And before we break, I got a post on Facebook from friend Rick, and I don't know if it's Stabile or Stable, however he pronounces his last name. Thanks for writing, Rick. He wrote, and you'll appreciate this, Doug. Rick writes, Professor Tallamy is the reason I planted 4 bur oaks, 1 chinkapin oak, 2 Kentucky coffees, 3 service berries, and 2 yellow birches in my yard. I saw him give a talk for the Citizens for Conservation in Barrington a couple of years ago. He's great.
Oh, that's great. I appreciate that. And boy, if everybody did that, our problems would be solved.
Absolutely, wouldn't they? And because trees are among the best things you can plant in your yard for the health of our wildlife. We'll get right back to Doug Tallamy in a second. Have you ordered your fall bulbs yet? You're running out of time. And today is the final day of the D. Landreth Seed Company 5th Annual Heirloom Bulb Sale. It runs until 3 p.m. Central Time, but that's if you show up at their warehouse in New Freedom, Pennsylvania. Here in the Midwest, you can just go online to LandrethSeeds.com and find all of the items at the same sale prices. Actually, it's kind of funny. I wrote to them yesterday and I said, is the plants, since it's at your headquarters, what if you're online? Are the times the same? And they thought that was just, you know, kind of cute. And said, it applies if you call the company, D. Landreth, and that number would be 800-654-2407. Actually, Barb Malera wrote to me, said, you nut. The store hours don't apply if you order online, but if you phone your order in, they do. But go online, and you can get more than 150 different heirloom bulb varieties and 450 different seed varieties, including onion, shallot, garlic, and elephant garlic sets for planting right now. And a selection of the finest gardening equipment and tools, dehydrators, holiday gifts for gardeners, and more. Maybe you want some iris reticulatas this year, or some exotic fritillarias, or outrageous irimurus, if I pronounce that right, close enough, foxtail lily. Pick up some bulbs for forcing and some Secret Santa gifts. Nobody ever gives me flowering bulbs as a Secret Santa gift. Go to LandrethSeeds.com or find them on Facebook at Landreth Seed Co. Or call again, 800-654-2407. D. Landreth Seed Company, purveyor of fine seeds since 1784.
Hi. Hi, my name is Peggy, and I publish the greenest magazine in Chicago. Natural Awakenings is packed with fresh information to help you lead a more healthful and sustainable life. Whether you practice yoga or work out, shop fair trade, are mindful of the food you eat and grow, or want a greener and more balanced life, Natural Awakenings is your go-to source for making informed decisions. In print or online, each month you'll find the latest news about what's healthy for our bodies, our families, and the earth, as well as a complete calendar of local events. And did I tell you that the magazine is free and available at locations across northern Chicagoland? Or find us online at nachicagonorth.com. If you're a green or wellness business in search of like-minded consumers, our readers are your potential customers. Call us today at 847-858-3697 to learn more. 847-858-3697. Natural Awakenings Magazine. Feel good, live simply, laugh more.
Want to make a positive move in the housing market? Replace your siding and windows. You'll improve your home's look and energy efficiency, too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for your remodeling and energy needs. Siding, windows, solar and wind power, and more. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
Here's a tip from the Care of Trees. Did you know that prospective home buyers decide if they are interested in a home within the first 2 minutes of seeing it? Trees and landscaping have everything to do with that first impression, adding immensely to a home's curb appeal. And if you can, plant natives, like my friend Rick did, who wrote to me on Facebook. That would be a really, really good thing. They can add as much as 20% to a home's value. The Care of Trees can help you sell your home faster and obtain top dollar for it by ensuring that your home landscape is as attractive as possible. Even relatively minor expenditures on landscape improvements can pay off. Pruning, mulching, edging, and replacing damaged shrubs can make a big difference in the length of time on the market and the selling price. Make the Care of Trees your permanent partner in enhancing the value of your landscape. Invite the certified arborist at the Care of Trees to take a look at your tree. See thecareoftrees.com or call 847-394-4220. 847-394-4220. The Care of Trees. Their business is people and their love for trees.
I get no doubt.
It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. We're talking to Doug Tallamy, who is the author of Bringing Nature Home, How Native Plants Sustain Wildlife in Our Gardens. Hey, Doug, we've got a call coming in, so do you mind answering a question?
Not at all, if I can.
Okay, we'll see. And who is the caller again?
His name is Alexander.
Alexander in Aurora. How you doing? You're on the Mike Novak Show.
Good morning. I was listening to your show. Actually, I have a couple other questions, but I'll be able to ask them later. But regarding, like, growing up, I'm 51 years old, and I grew up in the Aurora area, actually in Oswego. And back then, and I remember this fondly, you know, you were able to jump on your bike and basically ride to the woods, and there was a creek, and there were some cornfields there, so I'm sure there was some, you know, pesticides being used that we were unaware of, but you could still go into the creek and catch crayfish and tadpoles and basically and fish. And it was like oak trees. And I mean, you know, it was very, even though it was the beginning of suburbia, it was still very bucolic, and you could still, you know, climb trees and build forts and stuff like that. And then I left, you know, after I graduated high school, I left for 20 years. And I came back, believe it or not, to the same area. And you know, the woods are pretty much gone, or they were made into a park, so they were somewhat sterilized. The creek is no longer wild. It was maybe they tamed the creek bed or the side so no one could fall in and get hurt and sue the county. So everything has been fairly sterilized. There's always a playground nearby. So there is no seclusion, no, you know, you could just, as a kid, I remember you could just make believe and run around and you know, basically live in a fantasy world, as well as, you know, study. Because I was kind of a nature nerd. I would study. I'd bring little tadpoles home and snails and have a little, you know, bio lab in the backyard and stuff like that.
Little science funny, experiments back there, eh?
Yeah, I'd get little mud puppies and stuff. So, but I don't see any, I don't see that anymore. I don't see kids out there on their bicycles that much anymore. And all these places are gone. And the cornfields have turned into more suburbia.
I'm going to stop you there for a second, Alexander. And that's an interesting point, too. I think at some point there's this transition. The fields, the wild areas turn into cornfields. The cornfields turn into suburbia. Suburbia turns into something else. And in each place, and I'll ask Doug to comment on this, does the population, wildlife population, get degraded in each step?
Absolutely. And the more humans we pack into particular areas, the more areas we pave over, the more areas are converted into lawn, the more of the plants that we use are from Asia. We measure that around here, and 80% of the plants in our suburban landscapes are from Asia. So even though they're plants, they're green, they look fine, they are no longer participating in local food webs. So unfortunately, it's actually worse than it looks.
Oh, that's encouraging. Alexander, did you have another question before I let you go?
Well, actually, it was about a particular tree I was hoping on planting, and I don't know if it's invasive or not, but should I call back a little later?
Tell us, what have you got? What do you want to plant?
Well, it's a Russian olive, and maybe that's invasive, and maybe it's not even...
Doug's laughing at you, okay?
I'm not laughing. I'm crying.
Why?
Well, yeah, Russian olive and autumn olive are highly invasive. They're one of those classic plants that are from Asia that make lots of berries. And the birds eat those berries, and then they fly off and poop them out someplace else. So you get these monocultures of these plants from Asia. But that's one of the plants we have studied. They're really poor at supporting the insects that support the food webs. So I can actually give you some numbers on this. If you measure caterpillars it's the genus Eleagnus, and compare it to caterpillars in a hedgerow that is not invaded with Eleagnus.
Hey, Doug, you gotta go common name for us here.
Okay. Well, autumn olive or Russian olive, just two species in the same genus. You reduce the number of caterpillars 22 times, 22 fold fewer caterpillars. And of course, those caterpillars are what the birds are feeding their young when they're raising young. So, out of all of the choices you could have made, that is right there with buckthorn, one of the very worst.
Well, I'm glad I didn't buy any. I don't even know that you can buy them. You probably just find them somewhere.
You can buy them. That's the trouble. You know, people like you who don't know, they think. And as a matter of fact, they used to be marketed saying they're good for the birds because they make berries. So it's confusing. They do make berries, and the birds do eat them, and that's why they're invasive. But when the birds are reproducing, they can't live in areas that are overrun with these plants.
See, I'm really glad you called, Alexander. You're the poster child for what we're talking about here.
Exactly.
No offense. And so now, Doug, give him an example of some species you think he should plant.
Oh, my goodness. You know, if you're looking for an understory tree, plant one of the amelanchers, the shadbush or serviceberry, any of the native viburnums, arrowwood, viburnum dentatum, witch hazel, ironwoods, the carpinus. But I really like those oaks. Oaks are the number one trees in terms of supporting wildlife. So, for example, Eleagnus or Russian olive supports, I think it's 10 species of caterpillars. Oaks support 534. So there's a comparison. And, you know, you plant them small, so for a long time they are bush-like, and then finally they get big. If you're thinking about sequestering carbon to help pull that carbon out of the atmosphere, there is nothing better than oaks in our area. There's just so many good things that they do. And, of course, eventually they're going to make acorns and support all those vertebrates. So,
well, I'm almost afraid to ask this next question because the name of the tree actually sounds very Asian, but it's the katsura tree.
Yeah. Yep. Not, 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 It's not nearly as invasive, but it's really low in terms of
see, it's not just just the invasive properties of it, Alexander, and I'm going to have to let you go here, but it's sure. also how much wildlife is it supporting. The native trees
right.
support so much, as Doug has said. Get an oak. You know, Katsura, yeah. yeah, the Katsura people love, like, the weeping Katsura. Oh, isn't that pretty? But it's just, in terms of wildlife, it's not giving you the same bang for your buck that the native trees are. So what I would do, if I'm you, Alexander, go to the Morton Arboretum, look up the native trees that they suggest for our area, decide how big a tree you want, because they've got them listed in large, medium, small. They've got understory. They can tell you if you've got sun or if you've got shade. You got partial shade. You can choose, and they'll tell you whether it's a native. And that's a really good resource, a good place to start.
I'll do that. Thank you.
All right. You have a great Sunday. Thanks for calling.
Take care. Mm-hmm.
Bye. 773-763-9278 is our phone number. See, Doug, I'm glad he called. That was such that was the perfect call for us to have. I've only got a couple of minutes here, but I wanted to talk real quick about the study you did in your own yard with the chickadees, because you're trying to figure out what insects birds actually eat.
Right.
And tell me just a little bit about what you've been doing in your backyard.
Okay, well, we've actually we started a national project, but I've been doing it in my backyard too. In terms of taking pictures of the insects that birds are bringing back. So when a bird has an insect in its beak, you take a picture of it, then we can identify it, and then we know exactly what the birds are eating. So when I said birds are favoring caterpillars, we're learning that by, we've got 1,500 pictures of nesting birds rearing their young at this point. And caterpillars really dominate what is being fed to our young. So we, or young birds. So we need to put the plants that are going to make those caterpillars into our yards. The chickadees in my backyard turned out to be feeding their young 100% caterpillars. And what was amazing to me was as I watched them bring these caterpillars back time and time again, and they would bring in species that I have looked for but could never find. So the first thing I realized is they're really good at it. And they're foraging right in my yard. They forage within 50 meters of the nest. So they're getting these caterpillars from trees that I didn't think had those caterpillars on them. And I started to count them. How many are they bringing in? So to make a long story short, it was about 300 caterpillars a day. And they do that for 16 days while they're rearing their young. So that is 4,800 caterpillars required to make one clutch of chickadees. And my estimates were low. When I looked in the literature, somebody had recorded 570 caterpillars a day. So that's around 8,000 caterpillars required to bring one clutch of chickadees through to maturity. So you got to ask yourself, is your yard making 8,000 caterpillars?
And that's just for one.
Amazed.
That's what for one clutch.
One clutch.
Well, you know what it tells me. The first thing it tells me, alerts me to, is how many dang caterpillars there are in the world.
Well, not enough.
Yeah, I guess so, and fewer as time goes by.
Yeah, but it's another reason we don't have to worry about insects taking over the world, because there are so many things that rely on them. If you have breeding birds in your yard, you're not going to have caterpillars. They're going to get them first. But you're not going to have breeding birds unless you do have caterpillars. So how many people, people put out bird seed and chickadees come to their bird feeder, but where are those chickadees breeding? I bet it's not in your yard if you don't have enough trees to support the caterpillars. And we need to get them so that they're happy and reproducing in our yards.
So you're doing this thing called, well, I love the title, Homegrown National Park.
Right.
Which it, and you posit that if we converted 50%, just 50% of our lawns to biological corridors, we would create 20 million acres of viable habitat, which is more than three times the size of Denali National Park in Alaska. That's incredible. So this is what I'm going to encourage. I have to let you go. I'm sorry. I'm flat out of time here, Doug. But I'm going to encourage everybody to do two things. Take out some lawn, you know, and I talked about it last week. My motto is, when in doubt, rip it out when it comes to lawns. and plant habitat, put natives in, to raise those caterpillars so those chickadees can get fed. But the other thing is, you want people to send you photographs of what birds eat if they can get photos of the insects, because we don't really know exactly what insects birds eat, do we?
That's right. Anybody who's got pictures of a bird with an insect in its beak, you can send it to my email address. Should I give them my email address, Mike?
Go ahead. I've got it on my website, but give it to us.
Okay. Well, it's dtalamy@udel.edu, and this is how we're collecting pictures. And there's some really fine bird photographers out there who've got all these pictures of birds, and a lot of times they've got an insect in their beak. That's what I'm looking for.
We have
much appreciated.
That's great. It's dtalamy, dtalamy @udel.edu. And Sarah's going to, I know she's going to tweet that and post it on Facebook right now so that we can get people to start sending you photographs so you can create this book that shows us what insects, birds eat. Doug Talamy, this has been such a pleasure to have you on. Next time you're in town, I want you in the studio, dude.
Okay. Appreciate it, Mike. Thanks.
All right. You take care and have a good talk next week.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. The Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. Rick DeMille weather in exactly 90 seconds.
You can have a beautiful lawn and be kind to the environment, too. Hi, I'm Melinda Myers, horticulturist and gardening expert. A few simple changes in your lawn care practices, like using Milorganite Goof-Proof Organic Fertilizer, can result in a carpet of green safe for your kids and pets. Start by raising the mowing height of your lawn, if you haven't done so already. Taller grass is better able to compete with the weeds. Mow often, removing only one-third of the total height, and leave the clippings on the lawn. Consider using a push or electric mower. It's good for the waistline and the environment. Further improve your lawn's health and greatly reduce weed problems with proper fertilization. Milorganite's organic nitrogen is slow release and won't burn your lawn, even in hot, dry weather. Plus, you don't need to water it in. And the non-staining iron helps maintain the deep green color, even in the heat of summer. So join the professionals and home gardeners who've trusted Milorganite for over 80 years. Use Milorganite for better results naturally. Visit Milorganite.com to find a store near you.
Allergies acting up, trouble breathing, headaches, sinus pressure, you're tired, congested. Isn't it time to feel better? Breathe deeply and easily. Get rid of the symptoms that complicate your life. Dr. Bonnie Flaster is an acupuncturist and chiropractor who helps people get rid of allergies without using drugs, shots, or needles. Call Dr. Flaster at River North Wellness Center, 312-642-7545, or go to rivernorthwellness.com to find out how to get your body feeling better so you can enjoy life again.
I tell you, Doug Talamy is just the coolest guy, isn't he? And what he's got to say is absolutely remarkable. I hope folks take advantage of it. And I wish I could. I'm going to get out and see him in one of these talks. Another guy that I don't see very often in person is Rick DeMille, but he's on the phone.
Hey, didn't you say that the last time I talked to you, I was the coolest guy around?
Did I say that? Well, you know what? You're the coolest guy on my radio show right now.
Oh, I'm the second coolest guy.
No, you're cooler than I am. I got to tell you. All right. You got to, I just got to let you know, Sarah adores you.
I do.
Every time you're on, we go to the news and she'll say, oh, I love Rick DeMille. He's so good.
Well, she has to come in a different place. There's other people in front of her that love me more, so.
Okay.
I didn't know it was a contest. Okay.
Oh, well, we're grading. I mean, like you know, Dave is coolest, I'm cool, and Sarah loves me, but she loves me in a different way, and there's other people in front of her. So we're grading everybody this morning.
Well, I'll work on it.
You're a teacher, so I understand why you do that.
You know, and then, you know, it's funny, after a while, you begin to become way too analytical as a teacher. You go, didn't you mean you wanted to say it that way? I go, okay, Rick, stop it. But I guess I'm still, Mike, I'm still in kind of like an analytical mode, because I saw one of the most important films I think I've seen in probably the last 10 years last night. I saw Argo. And I have to say, Mike, I don't know if you know much about the movie. Do you at all?
A little bit about it. Yeah.
But it has to do with the CIA going into Tehran and basically getting the six hostages that were in the Canadian embassy out. The other 50 were over in the U.S. embassy, and it's a Ben Affleck film,
right,
produced and directed by him along with George Clooney. And Mike, it is probably the most riveting film you will see, as well as I think a very, very important film politically, because it doesn't politicize anything other than tell you these are the facts. And in this, I think in this very, very contentious political time, where it seems to be everything is political. And no, you meant that because you really meant that because the consequences of that. This movie was straight down the line, and really, I think everybody was coming out of that film last night, the theater, was looking at each other going, holy smoke, my heartbeat is still racing like crazy. And in the end, the great thing about it was no one really knew about the actual plan because it was classified for almost 18 years until President Clinton declassified it. And this was under the Carter watch. And I think a lot of people look back at Carter as a failed president. He didn't do anything to get the hostages out. But all this stuff actually occurred. And because it was classified, he couldn't talk about it. But it was really an amazing. You've got to see the movie. It really is. And I think for your station, with the fan base that you have, really, you know, making it aware that the movie's out there. And it really talks about the United States during a very, very dark time in a very positive way. So I thought it was, at least the United States government, that is. But it was pretty amazing. I think the other thing that was surprising when I walked out of the theater, it was like 15 degrees warmer. Everybody was walking out in their coats going, oh, my God, it's so warm. And I'm walking around going, oh, that's kind of funny that weather is playing into this conversation very quickly. Not only was it a great movie, but it's a lot warmer out than it was when we went inside. I thought that was kind of interesting.
Well, as a meteorologist, you should have known that, right?
Well, I did, and I wasn't saying, well, you should have known that the warm front came through. I wasn't going to say that, but yeah, it was kind of a nice touch of like late August, almost mid-September weather, because so far, Mike, this October's been rather cool, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has. And I have to admit, it was weird. I got faked out completely this morning. I got up. I was looking outside. It's dreary. It's raining. I thought, oh, I'm going to have to bundle up. And then I walked outside, and
right,
I went,
right.
Oh, my goodness, it's barely jacket weather.
Right, right, right. It's one of these things where we finally got a storm system to break free of this very, very persistent jet stream that has been barreling in from northern Canada, due to the fact that we've had a very, very active tropical storm season in the Atlantic, as well as a very active typhoon season in the Pacific. And even though we now have another tropical storm developing in the Atlantic, I believe it's Paulette. I'm not too exactly sure what the name is. I think it's Paula. But it's not going to make its way onshore. It's going to remain offshore. But we've had active seasons, and studies have shown when you have active seasons in either the Atlantic or the Pacific, or combined, I should say, it usually leads to an early season cool down in the middle part of the United States, because the jet stream does a big old buckle. And that's pretty much why we've been about 4 degrees below normal for the first 12 days of the month of October, and nearly 8 degrees colder that we were this time last year. Last year, I don't know if you remember, but we were in a string of very, very mild October weather. And, you know, a lot of people were talking about this. I was up at the National Weather Association conference up in Madison from last Sunday night and through Wednesday evening. And, you know, everybody's kind of throwing their thoughts around about what the winter is going to be like. And still, I think that's always a difficult thing for people to do. But we're talking nonstop about the heat and the drought. And even though, Mike, the leaves have been turning, they went through a brief period of a lot of color, but up in southern Wisconsin, the leaves just don't look very good. They look very bleached out, very blanched, and obviously, you know, a byproduct of the facts that we had, the fact rather that we had a very warm and very dry summer. And the proof is, I guess, is in the pudding, as they say.
Mm-hmm. And as we've mentioned on the show early, although I have to tell you, if I were just going by my own anecdotal evidence, what I see mostly in the city, I would say it's a pretty good color year.
Yeah, different in northern Illinois. We had about two or three different events of rain. I think that's kind of helped it along. But as I mentioned, once you go a little bit further north, though, southern Wisconsin, Madison drove a little bit east through the Lake Geneva area. the colors are a little bit more muted. So we actually had, I think you recall, like two or three different little rain events that kind of came through, like on Saturday night to Sunday morning. It seemed like they had that "you sleep and we'll rain on you" kind of like mentality. And it actually worked out where we had, you know, fairly decent rainfall in the last half of the summer here. But the most talk that everybody has kind of thrown around is, again, this notion of what type of winter we're going to have. And basically what the feeling is that we're still kind of waiting to see how the North Atlantic is going to begin to set up, because it seems like that the pattern in the Pacific has already begun to establish itself as an active jet stream coming into the North Pacific, into the Pacific Northwest, over the Rocky Mountains, which could do two things to us. If the North Atlantic remains somewhat quiet, which is what it's doing right now, which is typical because it's still only October, we can end up having a fairly warm and dry beginning of winter. If we begin to see more activity in the North Atlantic and begin to push that jet stream on the eastern half of the country a little bit further south, we may go into somewhat of a snowier pattern here. But the pieces are still not all there. And I think, as Dr. Louis Uccellini, who is the head of the National Weather Service Prediction and Modeling Center, said, he goes, you know, I hate it when people say meteorology is an inexact science. He goes, I disagree with that. Meteorology is a very exact science based on the laws of thermodynamics and physics and mathematics. It's the way it's applied that makes it somewhat inexact. And I think that was very good for the students. There were a lot of students there to listen to that, because oftentimes you go, you know what, this is an inexact science. It's okay if I'm wrong every once in a while. Then you become humble, and after a while you quit. You don't want to do that. So what he was basically saying is, no, the science is there. It's how it's applied as an exact, and it's how it's applied at this point. We're still not sure how to go about doing things. So you have to be able to go out and say, you know what, I'm not that certain about how this is going to work out in this situation. And studies have shown that people would rather hear you say that, you know what, you're still not exactly sure about these two things, and when I get more information, I think I can make a better forecast. But it was a very interesting conference, because we really spent a lot of time on putting different climate aspects together in different climates, come up with the long-range forecast, or at least improve our skill. And I think from that alone, it kind of left you with a little bit of like, okay, I feel a little bit better about going into, you know, the winter season, about knowing what to look for, maybe what not to look for.
Okay, you got 15 seconds to give us a forecast.
Yeah, I figured I was running a little bit long there. You know what? It's a cloudy, mild day. I think we're done with the heavy rain. The front's going to come through, and that'll probably drop us back down into the 60s for the rest of the afternoon. So by and large, I think the heaviest rain is over with. We got close to an inch in some areas, which was good. And then it looks like the rest of the week looks very quiet, very seasonal between Monday and Friday. But to me, the long-range pattern still shows us becoming a little bit milder.
Okay, I got to go, Rick. I'll talk to you next week. Take care, buddy.
The rest of the week, bye.
Hour of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees, their business's people and their love for trees. Here he is again, Mike Novak.
It was either this or Raiders of the Lost Ark. I wasn't sure.
I picture you riding a horse into the radio station in this intro here, buddy. Mike Novak waving at everybody.
Well,
Hello!
You don't recognize the theme. Okay, do either of you know what this theme is?
No.
Oh, I bet 773-763-9278. Tell me the name of this theme.
Or what it's from, at least.
Or what it's from. Well, what it's from is the name of it.
Oh. All right. I just picture you.
Star Wars.
No.
No. Okay.
I would take a stab, but I want to see who's listening, who's calling in.
773-763. Tell me the name of this song. It's easy. Yeah, you got to be of a certain age, I guess. But
apparently,
it's not Star Wars.
It's not Star Wars. Not even close to Star Wars. Okay, 773-763-9278, and we'll see if anybody knows the name of that song.
Can I make a request? You got any Rolling Stones?
What's wrong with what I just... All right, the calls are pouring in, Denny. I tell you what, we'll give away a CD.
Oh.
I've got a CD Doug Tallamy, a talk Doug Tallamy did last year. The Wild Ones of DuPage said, it's actually a DVD of his talk from last year.
Now I'm going to pick these up. But last time we did something, we got a little confusion. We're going to see if they know it. We're going to go to them. And if, you know, do you know it? And then we're going to find out.
Okay. Look at those lines. Oh my Lord.
Holy smokes. Yeah.
Okay. Right. Dennis is busy.
All right.
Ooh.
Dennis is on the line. See, people know this. Holy smokes. It's like the phone is exploding here. It just, you're watching all those lines light up. Oh, dear. It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. You know, in this hour, we're going to have to clear some of those lines, too, because people call in and talk to us about various stuff. I note that we've got tweeted probably the most riveting film you'll see all season. Rick DeMaio's recommendation of Argo. So now I got to go out and see it. I note that you, Sarah, are tweeting about birds, and a lot of people are retweeting that. Which,
that's funny. Birds retweeting.
Okay. Thank you very much. Oh, boy. I just wander into these. You know, it's like I walk into a pane of glass. That's those are my jokes.
Love birds, hate squirrels.
Oh, come on. I think squirrels are funny. I think squirrels are. Oh, yeah. I know, not if they dig up your bulbs, but there are ways you can keep them from doing that. You know, the old chicken wire thing, and basically, and that is put some chicken wire down on the ground just under the soil line where you've planted your bulbs, and the squirrels give up. But the other thing is plant bulbs they don't like.
Mm-hmm.
Narcissus.
Daffodils.
Muscari and... Fritillaria. Nobody likes Fritillaria because Fritillaria smells like skunk. That's what I like about it. It smells like skunk.
Delicious.
There's a nothing like Fritillaria pate.
In the morning.
In the morning. On a Sunday morning. Look at those. That's just too funny. Oh, my goodness. Denny, have you got a bunch of people online there?
Tons.
Tons.
All right, let's hear them.
Should we take some of these calls here?
Go ahead.
All right.
Man, drop the phone.
Are you all right in there?
Man down.
No, it's phone down. All right, which line do I want to take here?
Start with one, bud.
Might as well. You're on the Mike Novak Show. Good morning.
Good morning, Mike. This is Chris in Palatine.
Hi, Chris.
Hey, Chris. How are you?
Oh, well, you know, warm weather out there. Had the windows open last night instead of the heat on. It was great.
Yeah.
Cool. Or warm. All right, what's the name that tune?
The Great Escape.
See how easy that was.
First caller.
Know that movie?
I know. We got some young punks in here. That's the problem, Chris.
Steve McQueen, you know. I mean,
Steve McQueen sitting there throwing the ball against the wall.
Right.
Riding a motorcycle over. Yeah, the motorcycle over the wire fence.
Oh, the barbed wire.
Which the stunt he did himself.
Yes, James Garner.
James Garner. Who else was in that movie?
A lot of people.
So cool. Well, you want one of those DVDs?
Oh, only we save that for one of your other callers. It'd be wasted on me since I live in an apartment.
Okie poke. I will do that. Thanks, Chris, for calling. I'm going to go pick up a couple of these other lines.
Great, thanks.
All right. Although...
Hey, with the questions answered. But we got to talk to these people.
Well, yeah. I just want to find out. Okay, who have I got in line? Hello, you're on the Mike Novak Show. Hello?
This is Linda in Elgin.
Linda?
Hi.
Did you know that? Did you? I mean, this is the honor.
That was also the theme from Hogan's Heroes.
No, it wasn't. No,
not performed that way.
No, okay. No. I'm sure they did something similar. Of course, Hogan's Heroes would do that. I mean, it was, they have that sort of World War II sound to them. But I don't think Hogan's Heroes had the same theme.
That's okay. I'll just order a Landreth seed catalog.
You're going to order? Good for you. There we go.
Thanks a lot.
Well, thank you for calling. I appreciate that.
Way to be, Linda.
Great son. You're wonderful, Linda. Take care now. Bye-bye. Let's go to line three. Who have we got here?
This is Jim in River Grove.
Jim.
Hi.
Did you know that?
Oh, definitely. That's James Colburn, the other guy you were thinking of. Richard
right.
Attenborough. James Gardner, who was the scrounger. He would get all the information so they could get he would scrounge stuff. Cameras, tools, that sort of thing.
It's a great movie,
and,
isn't it?
Donald Pleasance was in there.
Yes,
he was
Donald
scrounger.
Pleasance was in there. Wow.
Right.
Oh, you want a DVD?
Oh, yeah. Is that about the movie?
No. No.
Oh,
no, it's a DVD of Doug Tallamy, who I interviewed on the first half of the show today.
Oh, of course. Yeah, that would be great. And I really like your show. Thanks for doing what you do, because you are the most unique show on radio.
Well, I would say that, but I'm glad somebody else is saying that as well.
No,
well,
we need more shows like that. But, of course, you you're the originator, and it's a great show. It really teaches people about the environment, gardening, you name it.
Oh, shucks.
Thanks for the next Mike Novak promo.
Yeah, that's right. You're
totally unsolicited.
You were going to find yourself on a promo,
no,
pal.
I gain nothing out of saying this except that it is good radio. It teaches people. It talks about issues, very important stuff, appropriate to our time in this age of all these other hacks that are out there that are trying to stop it. So this is extremely important radio. In fact, it should be on more primetime rather than just Sunday morning.
I agree. Okay,
yeah.
I'd say we get the lobbying effort going here. You know, and I'll tell you, and now I'm embarrassed. I've forgotten your name already.
Oh, Jim.
Jim. Okay, Jim. Jim, you make a really good point, which is, A, nobody's doing this. Nobody's talking environment. I mean, thank God for Ring of Fire, because those guys do that. But they get into politics, too.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of combining, you know, there's no other gardening show in Chicago. There are two gardening shows in Chicago. One of them is this one, and the other is my TV show. So I have the two gardening shows in Chicago. Nobody's doing anything about the environment. And these are really important issues, which takes me to my little soapbox here, Jim, which is nobody's talking about the environment in politics right now as we ramp up to this very important election. Where's the discussion about energy? Where's the discussion about pollution? Where's the discussion about how we're going to preserve biodiversity that we were talking about with Doug Tallamy? Those are not issues that are on anybody's radar. Why are we not doing this? Why is this not coming up? Because, well, you know, I'm going to sort of parrot the Norman Goldman. Corporate media's not interested in it. They're not interested. And that's why I do what I do on Sunday morning.
And they're protecting the oil interests. They're protecting the oligarchs. That's what this is all about, because they're getting contributions, one side more than the other, obviously. But that's what they're trying to do. And it's we the people. That's how civil rights got started, women's rights. It has to come from grassroots down at the police, at the people level, to save the environment. I'll tell you something I heard that's really shocking. There's only 640,000 elephants left. Last year, they poached 25,000 of them. In our lifetime, we may see elephants extinct.
We may see tigers extinct. We may see polar bears extinct. We may see a number of megafauna, charismatic megafauna, that to coin a phrase, just go away. Why? Because we don't care. Because
if anything is foretelling, look at Mars. We're seeing remnants on Mars that may have some features like Earth, but where are the creatures? You know, the one that may become extinct in all of this is human beings.
Well, that might not be a bad thing for the planet.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope that's telling that we need to change.
There's a group out there, and I've forgotten the name of it. The Extinction Group. They're all for humanity becoming extinct. I can't remember the name of the group. I had it. I actually posted about it, I don't know, a couple of years ago on my website, and I'm going to try to see if I can find the name of that group. But, Jim, thank you I appreciate that. That's very kind of you, and I'm glad you're a listener. And we're going to send you a DVD of Doug Tallamy out in speaking to the DuPage Wild Ones, and it's apparently a talk he did last year. So you hang on, give your phone number and address to Denny, and we'll do that.
Okay, thank you, Mike, and thank you for your show. Keep up the good work.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much. You have a great Sunday. Let's try a couple more before we move on here. Let's
All right.
go to who's
it's
on
Jeff what? In Chicago.
Jeff,
hey, how you doing?
All right.
You know, this is the first time I actually found you guys totally by accident, just scanning the radio.
Really?
And yeah, I mean, now I'm torn between listening to you guys, listening to your station, and WBZ now.
You know, I'll tell you, I get that all the time. It's really funny, you know, when your friends, and I'm going to be really honest, you know, when in radio, you're not supposed to acknowledge that any other radio stations exist.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Except that when your friends come up to you and they go, oh, you know, I never listen to your show because I'm always listening to Bob Edwards on BEZ. Sorry about that. Or they say, oh, Dean Richards, he's my buddy on GN. And then you just kind of go, okay, whatever, whatever. I hope you listen. But see, now, Jeff, you found me. And
totally by accident. And I'm programming you into my car radio.
Uh-huh. Yes.
The best now, accident you made all week, buddy.
If you program, now I got to ask you, are you a progressive?
I think I'm semi-progressive.
Okay.
Everything that I've listened to you since, not to you personally, but the station since yesterday, pretty much everything had me in the car going, yeah.
Oh, great. Well, see, so? I think you found something here, and I think you have to program it. And now I have to ask you because I hear this all the time. I've heard it on Mighty House. Did you listen to Mighty House yesterday?
That's who I found yesterday.
Okay. They're great.
And I happened to get in the car, and I found you.
and this is the way radio is supposed to work. People are like going boom, bada boom, bada boom. What's this? Oh, that sounds great. They come back the next day and they go, wow, I like that too.
That's exactly what happened.
and then they stick around. The question I have to ask you though, Jeff, is most people have their dial glued to one. That's the, you know, they never stray from it. Why did you find yourself looking around for something else?
Well, truthfully, when I was growing up, my parents, my grandparents used to listen to, like, you know, radio plays, talk radio, that type of stuff. And being a kid, I was always like, you've got to be kidding. I'll never be that way. Well, I started working nights when I was in college. And to this day, it seems like most of what's on the radio, at least here in Chicago, is a total wasteland. it's like the music, I'm so tired of hearing the same, like one time, what was this? Not Lady Gaga, but she's on The Voice now. But either way, one time I was flipping through channels and almost every single channel I hit had her song on.
Yeah, that'll happen.
And it was that type of thing. And then after a while, you started figuring out that it was like, you know, if you work a particular shift, it's the same playlist. It's just they alter it a little bit. So instead of it starting with Lady Gaga, it starts with Maroon 5 or something like that. But it played all the songs that was played in the last 3-hour shift or something like that.
Yeah.
So, and then nothing really informative. And what you do get that's informative tends to be really early in the morning when people are driving, you know, to work. And, you know, it's, you know, for the most part, it's filler. And every so often you do, you know, they touch upon something, but they can't really go into it because they, you know, they've got to get to the next thing.
Well, here on the weekends at WCPT, in the words of Decay, we're live, we're local. And we're addressing the things you want to hear, I hope. You know?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's funny that that I'm listening to your show. I was on my way to Home Depot to swap out light bulbs for my shower, and I was going to switch them out for LEDs because they've gone bad.
Uh huh.
And they have none for the shower.
Really?
None of them are shower rated.
You know what? Okay, now that's interesting because that's an energy question, and Ron Calgill on Mighty House and I talk about this. We both handled this And I talked to a lighting guy several months ago about this whole CFL versus LED versus, you know, incandescent. There's that whole all the troglodytes out there who say you can't take away my incandescence. You know, I kind of get that, but not really, because you're kind of fighting history when you do that. But the lighting guy that I talked to did admit that the CFL thing is sort of an interim. Is that we're going to go away from CFLs and it's going to be all LED because they're so much more efficient. And yet we sold everybody on CFLs. Because they are more efficient than incandescents. But, you know, we got the mercury problem with it, the little residue of mercury in there. And right now, LEDs are so much more expensive. But all that will change. Those will come down, and someday we're going to look back and go, yeah, well, we used to use incandescents, yeah, and then for a while it was CFLs, a very short period, and now we've got LEDs, and who knows, maybe there's some other technology that will appear. But I'm sorry you couldn't find the LED for your bathroom.
Yeah, I'm right here looking for a replacement in Home Depot. I'm like going, okay, well, I guess I will get this one over here.
Yeah.
So, unfortunately, but yeah, I mean, it's fabulous to find a station. I really, you know, I was trying to find I listened to it a little bit on AM, which was going so-so, and then on the other station, which I couldn't seem to get in very well. So just to see which station came in. Cause like, I'm listening to you on 99.9, which seems to come in best for me.
Where are you right now?
I'm at the Home Depot on 47th and
yeah, 99.9. That's on the south side. Of course, we've got the north side, which is 92.7 in Arlington Heights, and then we got 92.5 out west in DeKalb. And of course, if you're in the city, 8:20 a.m. is the best. Jeff, you want a DVD?
Oh, absolutely. Actually, I was trying to call in when he was on, but I couldn't get through.
What were you going to ask him, Doug Tallamy?
Well, it was kind of funny because my wife and I go through the same argument about her wanting something in the backyard. And so we have like a row house, an old row house. So, you know, we have these walls that are connected, and we have these gangways on either side of us that are all about 4 feet wide and collect huge amounts of water. So you get very limited sun for one side. And I was trying to figure out what kind of plants to put in that are native that I can put in that would also happen to, you know, increase the number of butterflies and birds and stuff. Because I look at some of these neighborhoods and going, okay, how did you get, you know, like, no offense against Inglewood, but I look at like Inglewood and going, you got a blue jay. How did you see a blue jay over here?
I never see blue jay.
I live by the United Center with a bunch of trees, and we have pelicans.
Wait, pelicans?
Not pelicans.
No, I thought a pelican would be pretty cool if you had a pelican.
Yeah, wouldn't it be? No. What are
sparrows? Ravens.
No, not ravens. They're white, usually by the lake.
Pigeons.
No. See, any other time I can remember the name. I'm thinking about,
Oh, seagulls.
Seagulls.
Is that seagulls?
Yeah, seagulls.
Oh, okay.
We have tons of those in my area.
Are you near a dump or something?
Huh?
Well, no, a garbage dump. That's what I'm wondering. A landfill.
No. Nope, not near any of those.
Oh.
I live over by Ashland and Madison.
Okay.
In Chicago.
So oh.
I'm real far away from a landfill.
All right, so you're like me. You're kind of smack in the city. I'm in Logan Square, and I don't see Blue Jays in my yard either. Okay.
See, right, exactly. And so what I've done is I've planted the normal trees that we see all over Chicago.
Well, what's normal? And, you know, when you listen to Doug Tallamy speak, normal is going to be something that's probably non-native. That here's a good.
And that's my fear, because now the trees are the two trees I planted are both about 5 or 6 years old.
What did you plant?
It's the trees that you see, those normal trees that kind of look like the shape of the leaves are like those maple-like leaf-type trees.
Oh, like a Norway maple? You didn't plant that, did you?
No, I didn't plant that, but whatever we have normally in the street, you see all over the place.
Well, there's no such thing as normal. I mean,
in Chicago. I'm not sure exactly the names of these different trees. So okay. It might be an elm tree for all I know.
You see, and no offense, Jeff, that's the whole point. You got to know what you're growing. All right. And
right.
So you can get
those
it.
Are the trees, but those are the trees that were, like one was growing out of the ground in front and a neighbor was about to just hack it off. And I just, because it was sort of a sapling, I just sort of pulled it out of the cracks in the ground. And
so for all we know, you could have a tree of heaven there. Or you could have a...
No, that I don't have.
Okay,
that
you know that one. Okay. So you
right,
got some kind
of... heaven, I grew up knowing it as a weed tree. We grew up calling it a weed tree.
Yeah, exactly. And probably, and the trees that you've got growing are probably weed trees as well.
It might be.
All right, here's your homework assignment, Jeff. All right, I'm giving you a homework assignment. You found
okay.
A new, you see, now other radio stations you were listening to, they're not going to bug you, but I'm going to make you write back to me, okay? Because I want you to send me photos of your tree, and we're going to do a little ID for you, okay?
Oh, I'll do that today as soon as I get home.
All right, when you get home, shoot me a picture of the trunk, shoot me a picture of a branch with some leaves on it, and we'll do an ID for you.
Okay, sounds good.
All right, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to put you on hold and talk to Denny. We'll get your address. We'll send you a DVD of Doug Tallamy.
All right, thank you. I appreciate it.
And thanks for listening, and I hope you come back next Sunday.
Oh, absolutely.
And, Bob Edwards will get over it. He really will. All right. Hang on, Jeff.
Thank you.
Wow. Okay, we got one more left.
Let's go to, Brendan in Barrington. He's You're just shooting the breeze with the listeners. I like it.
It's a different kind of program today. All right. Brendan, you're on the Mike Novak Show.
Great show, Mike. I got to ditto everything Jim said. I'm not from Barrington. I'm from LaSalle, but I'm up here anyway. But what I wanted to tell you is several things. First of all, I had the Dirty Dozen. I did remember it when it came out. What my question was, is that Robert Ryan, was he the military guy?
Well, now the Dirty Dozen, of course, is different from The Great Escape. What I played.
No. I thought it was The Dirty Dozen was a movie.
No. See, I played The Great Escape. Dirty Dozen. Now I'm going to.
I know The Great Escape, too. There's no doubt about it. But anyway, okay, so let's go back to what I was going to tell you about Romney's pushing right now for. You talked about wanting to see what they're going to say about energy.
Yeah.
Romney's pushing to drill everything that's public land, which means including Yellowstone Park, and they want to mine it for coal and everything else. James Watt pushed this in the 80s. Yellowstone Park is a 43 or 45 mile wide magnum supervolcano.
Yep.
If they'd have punched it, it'd been like put a needle in a boil. It would have blew up. The Mississippi River in Iowa would have been 6 feet deep in ash, and probably all human life on Earth would not exist.
Well,
they figured 3 years before we'd even see the sun again. And now they want to do it again. They're pushing for it. That's what Romney's pushing for.
That's
number one.
Yeah. Well, and I just need to say, you're absolutely right. I read this article in National Geographic a couple of years ago about how, yes, there is a super volcano under a Yellowstone National Park. And yes, if it decided to erupt, it would probably mean probably the end of life as we know it on the planet. And why would you mess with that?
But all life up until last year, they thought all life on Earth was carbon-based. Last year, they found some bacteria in Yellowstone Park that's arsenic-based. It's the first time we've ever found anything else that wasn't carbon-based on Earth. We thought there might be something like this on another planet somewhere. It's a super laboratory right there, a zoo that we haven't even looked at all of the animals yet.
Wow.
But that's how nutty they are. I mean, Romney gets in there, Katie bar the door. I mean, seriously. See if you can get on somewhere that's going to send you to a different planet away from here. The other thing I wanted to ask you, Mike, you're the plant man.
Yes.
Are you there?
I'm here.
Okay,
I'm here. Anyway, actually, it's funny because I was, while you were talking there, I thought, okay,
Let's look at this. And I found this. Scientists have, it's from 2010, scientists have discovered a strange bacteria that can use arsenic as one of its nutrients. A discovery, some speculate, is the big announcement NASA was going to reveal this a couple of years ago. The finding widens the possibilities for finding different forms of life here on Earth and possibly on other planets or moons. But this one was found in a lake in California.
Well, I thought it was found in one of Yellowstone's.
Well, this Yellowstone got mentioned because when I searched for this, I typed in Yellowstone and the article came up. So it's kind of interesting. But they're saying that it might be found in the similar kind of events in Yellowstone National Park.
I think they found one that's actually arsenic based now, but I don't think it was 2010. I think this was just last year, maybe 6-8 months ago.
Well, that's the CAA.
And it was in one of those streams running off of the geysers.
Uh huh. All right.
It's arsenic based. It's not. It doesn't just feed on arsenic. It's an arsenic based life form.
Yeah.
It's pretty spectacular, actually.
Well, you know, when you consider the kind of life forms we're finding at the bottom of the oceans and in the vents there, and what you could find in the vents in Yellowstone, we have just begun to figure out what's on our own planet. And the idea that we would mess with that at all, and you're right that the drill baby drill mentality is insane, especially since we should, you know, I'm going to have. Lisa Albrecht from the Illinois Solar Energy Association back next week, and we're going to be talking energy again, and she would be number one to tell you that we need to get away from the carbon fuels, the fossil fuels, and tap the energy of the sun.
Tell me what else we got with the Koch brothers now. I mean, you know, the top 400 people in this country as far as money. You know, it doesn't matter what we say. They pretty much run the place.
Yeah.
And unless there's just a public outcry that we demand something, you know, like get out of Vietnam, but it only took us 6 years and another 40,000 dead. You know, I mean, but here's what I wanted to tell you. If you talk about new life, remember it's only like 15 years ago that they found an entirely new classification, you know, like in mammals are one, fish another, birds another. This is an entirely new classification. They found it in one of the caves in Jamaica. Here's what I'd really like you to talk about, though. Tell me the advantages and disadvantages of horse chestnuts versus buckeyes. And second, I'd like to recommend to everybody, plant a tulip tree. They get to be 145 feet tall. They have blossoms on them that are 4 foot tall and look, I mean, they're 4 inches tall and look exactly like a tulip. They're a fairly clean tree. And they're beautiful. In the fall, they are yellower than the yellowest maple.
Yeah, why not to plant a tulip tree? I'll tell you what, I couldn't sit here right now. I'm going to be honest with you and give you the horse chestnut versus, what'd you say, versus the buckeye?
Buckeye.
I would have to do a little research. I can't just sit here and enumerate that. I'm not.
People think they're the same thing, but they're not. One's got they've got compound leaves. One's 7 and one's 5.
Uh-huh.
I believe the buckeye is 5, and
uh-huh.
The buckeye only gets to be about 40 feet tall. But they are entirely different. But the buckeye and the horse chestnut both have the real sharp on the outside. But buckeyes are really sharp, whereas horse chestnuts are just kind of. Bumpy and stuff.
Brendan, you know your stuff. How is it you know about this?
Oh, the old natural classics, I think they were called. They'd have one that was named Mammals, one Birds. My old grade school, every birthday or Christmas, I got, here's another one. This would be plants, you know, or seashores or whatever. And I devoured them. I wish they'd bring them back on the market again. I think there was something classic. I think it was National Classics, if I remember right.
Uh-huh.
But they were fabulous. They're great for kids and hell with adults that read them. You know, they're pretty good.
Well,
anyway, the one for trees, I just remember that from childhood, was horse chestnuts get to be 65 and buckeyes are about 40.
Well, here,
the buckeye's a little dirtier tree, and the horse chestnuts are great for shade.
Uh-huh.
Fabulous.
Here's something from Ohio State University
about buckeyes. It says occasionally people ask about the edibility of chestnuts. In almost every case, the chestnut turns out to be the non-edible horse chestnut or buckeye. True American,
right?
The true American chestnut is rare because, well, it died out about 100 years ago.
Yeah.
It's been virtually eliminated.
I called into the Mighty Mouse, and they had you on the line. They asked about it at that time. There supposedly is some. They still have some. They found some down there at Campobello, Roosevelt's place, just about a year, 5 years ago.
Well, yeah, there's
but as soon as they get up tall enough to grow seeds, they that virus kills them again.
Well, they get the and then what they're trying to do is find the ones that have survived. We're working on them to develop varieties that can withstand the disease, so that we can bring American chestnuts back to the United States, because we managed to wipe them out, just as we almost wiped out the elms, just as we're going to wipe out the ash trees. It's just that we keep making the same mistakes and bringing in these insects and diseases that wipe out. You know, we've got there's a lot of native trees under a lot of threat in America, and we have to be very vigilant about that. Hey, Brent,
if your people listening want an idea how big the American chestnut was, 245 to 260 feet high. That's a 26-story building. You can see them from 15 miles away. The last one just died out in the mid-50s. I'm old enough to remember them. They were huge. I mean, you could park a pickup truck on top of the trunk when they had to cut them down. You know, it was an Oriental holly that brought in the virus, and now they're. Man, if we could get them back, they were the sequoias of the Midwest.
You know, Brendan, I'm going to have you co-host this show sometime.
you do a great job. You don't need me.
Oh, well, I appreciate that. You know a lot about this. It's great stuff. By the way, the horse chestnut is a European native. It's not an American, the true American chestnut.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah. It's Aeschylus hippocastanum. It's a European native. It's occasionally seen as a planted ornamental shade tree. But the Ohio buckeye, Aeschylus glabra, or glabra, whatever how you pronounce it, is most common. Anyway, I'm going to let you go. Do you want one of those DVDs?
Most certainly.
All right.
You're hearing about Ohio so much with the buckeye, Ohio's the buckeye state.
Of course. You know, and I'll tell you, I'm a Michigan guy. I'm not a fan of the Ohio State Buckeye football team, but I love their website. The Ohio State website is a great resource. There's a lot of good. Cornell is a great site. Michigan State has a great site.
For nature.
For horticulture, University of Illinois Extension has a great site. There's a lot of these universities that have wonderful, wonderful and sites. And what I tell folks is, when you're looking up stuff, make sure it's got an EDU. And if you go to one of those places, you're going to get good information. All right. I'll tell you what, Brendan.
Let me ask you one other question, please. Let me ask you one question.
Better be quick, buddy.
The man on there a while ago said that oaks were the best trees around in the Midwest as far as providing food and everything.
Yep.
Why is it then that over in these state parks, these young kids coming out of college, I say young, they're probably 30, coming out of college are going around and I think it's Chaminade State Park, they eliminate all the trees and give you nothing but 3-foot-high weeds and say this is what a prairie really looked like.
Well, because that's
a
prairie.
You know, nobody goes there.
Yeah, but that's...
But if the oaks are that good, you know, why don't they let the oaks grow?
You know, the oaks are great, and in savannas, in woodlands, oaks are wonderful. In a prairie, you might see an acacia one, but a prairie is a prairie. It's different from a savanna and from a woodland. So that's why...
Yeah, but it's a prairie, not a plain. I mean, we do have trees. You know, plains, they didn't have trees.
I understand. You know what? If you wonder why those kids are doing that, you got to ask those kids, Brendan. All right, I'm going to put you on hold, buddy, and give Denny your information, your name, address, and... Woo! Wow.
That was awesome.
I'm telling you, Brendan could have his own radio show.
We just open the gates.
Man, you know, I play a little music, and it turns into this.
Well, in radio, that's what we call a call to action.
Well, really, but you know what? I have to tell you something, and Brendan's from LaSalle. And next week,
one of the things we're talking about is LaSalle and Starved Rock State Park. And I'm doing an update on that. Oh, wait a second. Okay. Jennifer Brennan, of course, is texting me. And when Jennifer texts me, it always means she's got some kind of correction. No, it's not. Okay. It's personal because she's always listening. She goes, well, and I'm sure she was going to write something about the Buckeye or the Chestnut and no, something else.
You mean Jennifer Brennan, co-host of Diggin' Chicago?
Yes.
Saturdays?
Saturdays at 10 a.m. In the season. We're done for the season, unfortunately.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But the point I was going to make is I'm talking about the Starved Rock issue. You know, again, Jim, or was it Jeff? Whichever said that we need to talk about some of these issues. We do. I know I'm pretty much the only guy who's been covering the Starved Rock issue. And folks, you need to know that it's proceeding. That mine, unless there's some kind of intervention, is going to happen outside the eastern entrance of Starved Rock State Park. It's going to change the nature of that park forever. All right. Just letting you know. And the damage was done when the county board, LaSalle County Board, opened the floodgates and basically said, come on, bring in your diggers and your backhoes and dig for sand and silica. And because once you do it on the county level, state governments are loath to get involved. They usually say, well, that's the jurisdiction there. Here's the problem with that. Here's the problem as I see it. County Board of LaSalle, I'm directing this at you. You don't own Starved Rock State Park. It happens to be in your county, but it's a state treasure. That's my state park. That's Sarah's state park. That's Denny's state park. That's a state park. That's state park of people who live in Wisconsin, in Iowa, in Indiana, in Michigan, who want to come. And for you to devastate this park, to create a condition where this natural wonder will no longer be the same. It takes me to something I posted on my website this week. I got a tweet, and I called it the tweet of the week, Marianne DeSantis, and it was sent to me in regard to Starved Rock State Park. Lyndon Baines Johnson said this, which is kind of surprising to me. And he said, if future generations are to remember us more with gratitude than sorrow, we must achieve more than just the miracles of technology. We must also leave them a glimpse of the world as it was created, not just as it looked when we got through with it. Well, we're not doing that in the case of Starved Rock State Park. That's my state park. You get your filthy little fingers off of my state park. It's a Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
Hi, my name is Peggy, and I publish the greenest magazine in Chicago. Natural Awakenings is packed with fresh information to help you lead a more healthful and sustainable life. Whether you practice yoga or work out, shop fair trade, are mindful of the food you eat and grow, or want a greener and more balanced life, Natural Awakenings is your go-to source for making informed decisions. In print or online, each month you'll find the latest news about what's healthy for our bodies, our families, and the earth, as well as a complete calendar of local events. And did I tell you that the magazine is free and available at locations across northern Chicagoland? Or find us online at nachicagonorth.com. If you're a green or wellness business in search of like-minded consumers, our readers are your potential customers. Call us today at 847-858-3697 to learn more. 847-858-3697. Natural Awakenings Magazine. Feel good, live simply, laugh more.
spending more time at home these days? Give yourself some room. Renovate your basement or attic. You'll increase your living space and your home's resale value, too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for your remodeling needs, including additions, renovations, and other home improvements. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
You need to get the blues from D. Landreth Seed Company. I was so grateful to hear the woman call in and say that she was going to go order something from D. Landreth. Do it today. They're good people. And when I'm talking about the blues, I'm talking about blue flowering bulbs, of course, that are available now and will grace your garden in the spring if you act quickly. The color blue is the rarest of all pure colors in nature. And it is only in the spring that you can be regaled with so many truly blue flowers. Start with Pushkinia libanatica, the striped squill. These tiny, I probably butchered that Latin, by the way. These tiny, who cares? These tiny 5-inch plants produce spikes with 6 to 10 flowers. Though the flowers are white, it is the vivid blue stripes that draw your attention. Or how about Scilla Siberica Spring Beauty? Each bulb produces a bouquet of royal blue nodding blossoms, 4 to 6 on a stem and 1 to 2 stems per bulb. If you want blue in your garden, this is as blue as it gets. Or you could go with Muscari Armeniacum. Valerie Finis is the variety. Muscari are better known as grape hyacinths, and they are meant to be planted in large clusters that drift over a hillside, slope, meadow, or lawn. Tell you what, go to Landreth Seed Company on Facebook right now. Landreth Seed Co. You'll find it there. Find the photos of these great bulbs. If you just scroll, they're up there and posted for you. Click on the links and order online. It's that simple. Or call 800-654-2407. 800-654-2407, D. Landreth Seed Company, purveyor of fine seeds since 1784.
See the moon roll across the stars.
It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. I'm better now. Sarah, did I get a little worked up there?
Yeah, my pulse was like, boom, 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 boom.
But your pulse is like that always here.
That was Dark Mike Rises times 10.
Dark Mike Rises.
The DMR was turned up pretty big there.
When are you going to get me the Dark Mike?
I was looking for it on YouTube, but the keyboard stopped working, so yeah.
You've got a computer and no keyboard.
That's how it goes, baby.
That's too good. That deserves a... There we go.
All right.
I see we have two.
Yeah. Mike McDonald.
Uh-huh.
He says you know of him?
Which line?
He's on line 1.
All right. Mike?
Hey. You know me. I'm the photographer guy.
Oh, right. How are you?
How you doing?
Great. What's up?
Hey, I was calling about the actual comment of the guy about why they're cutting trees down in the prairie.
Oh, go for it. That's true, because that's some of the activity. Are you one of those young guys that he wanted to talk to?
No, I'm not one of those young guys. I have helped him on occasion.
Uh-huh.
But basically, no. I'm just getting to be an old guy, I guess. But actually... Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm listening. I'm being polite. I just want you to let it out.
There we go. So back in the day when the pioneers came from the east and explored, they kind of got past into Illinois from Indiana, and mm-hmm. they hit this wall of open space, I guess you would call it.
That's a very interesting way of putting it.
Ground.
Yeah.
And because they weren't comfortable being in all this open space from all the trees they were in, and they thought that this wasn't fertile land, and the French knew differently, though. because they knew it was super fertile, but they didn't want to tell the English that. So they kept it a secret. But the prairie is, they call it grassland, but it's a lot of forbs and just as many forbs.
Sure.
And so it's sort of a misnomer. So when he says they're all weeds, there's like hundreds and hundreds of species in there where in a forest itself, you know, you aren't going to have that much biodiversity. And so what happens is, because we've suppressed fire, the natural fire, and also the Indians, Native Americans set fires for various reasons. They saw fire and how it made everything bloom better, and they could harvest whatever they would harvest, you know, from the native plants. But then they would set fires because, of course, they were protecting themselves, because if you couldn't see over 9 foot tall big blue stem grass, your enemy could come and attack you. So they would clear their surrounding area too.
Mm-hmm.
They would find that the fires were really good at making, enriching the land and improving the soil and getting rid of any, well, back then there weren't invasives. And so what happens is, because the forest preserves and just how the encroachment of man, they suppress fires because of how annoying it is, trees and things can get into the prairie. And the thing is that there's always been a battle between grassland and woodland. And it's just climate related. It's, you know, just lots of things that play a role. And so, like, the trees will move into a prairie very slowly. Then a fire will come and cut back on the trees, and the prairie will move in. And it's this constant battle back and forth over the eons. Well, since man has intervened, the trees will start taking over. And not just, like, oak trees. We're talking, because those are good trees for the most part, but mainly, like, ash and other weedy trees will go in and just take off immediately. And so they'll just start filling in, and they'll start darkening the area and start taking away, you know, a lot of plants won't be able to grow. And so that's why they're thinning it out. Actually, man is helping the prairie, you know, by cutting it down, because mm-hmm. they're not able to use fire and things like that.
Yeah. And your points are well taken. And that's kind of what I was trying to say, is that the prairie is prairie, and there are mixed areas and there are forested areas. But as you said, it starts with the intervention of human beings when everything starts to degrade. And that's kind of what we were talking. You know, if you missed the conversation with Doug Tallamy.
I did miss that today.
I'm saying this to anybody who's listening. Check out the podcast when I get it posted. He's written a wonderful book, Bringing Nature Home, about how we need to preserve wildlife and diversity, not only in this country, but across the entire planet. Mike, before I let you go, have you got any shows coming up that people want to know about?
Oh, like programs or things?
Yeah.
I'm more or less, I don't have a program I'm giving too soon, but, I'm always giving my photography classes, and I'm working on a book finally, my tabletop book, so.
Great. What's it going to be focused on?
It's going to be my adventures into and journeys into the wilds of Chicago. And it'll be it'll be a tabletop book of all the large landscape shots that I've been taking over the years, and mm-hmm. that's published in Chicago Wilderness and other things, you know, and on my website. But also it'll be, it's aimed at getting the average guy to fall in love with nature.
Cool.
Yeah, it's not, you know, and it's also for those who already appreciate it, but to get the new guy out there to because I talk about growing a prairie garden and all the other stuff from all the basics, too.
And give me your website.
It's chicagonature.com.
Chicagonature.com. If you want to go there and see what Mike McDonald is up to, and you'll see a picture of him with Mayor Richie Daley.
Yeah, there you go.
Right on the homepage. Mike, thanks so much. I'm glad you were listening. I'm glad you called in. Great comments.
Yeah, and I want to say real fast, I appreciate, who are we without passion? So I appreciate your passion. So.
Sometimes it gets me in trouble, but...
You're not working if you're not, you know, you're not getting anywhere if you don't get in trouble a little bit.
That's true. We all need to get in trouble every now and then.
Yeah.
Take care, buddy.
Things, right?
Yeah. All right. Have a great Sunday.
Okay, you too. Bye.
Bye-bye. Here's a... and by the way, we've got Snappy J Dog is with us in just a second here. Here's a question from the Care of Trees. Why hire a tree care company at all? While trees growing in the forest and other natural areas can basically take care of themselves, and maybe we take care of them when they're in the prairies, those growing in cities and suburbs need help staying healthy and beautiful. They contend with air pollution, road salt, confined roots, trunk damage, compacted or poor quality soils, improper pruning, and other stresses. Lawns, competing with lawns. When in doubt, rip it out. Your trees and shrubs may benefit from pruning, mulching, irrigating, soil management, or other TLC to thrive. When you work with the Care of Trees, you benefit from having trained, educated, and certified professional caring for your trees. Their staff includes registered consulting arborists, certified arborists, and certified tree workers trained in the progressive technologies and techniques and ensuring safe work practices. Invite those certified arborists at the Care of Trees to take a look at your trees. They're great people. You know, great sponsors. I know so many of them as human beings. They're just terrific, and they know their stuff. See thecareoftrees.com or call 847-394-4220. 847-394-4220. The Care of Trees. Their business is people and their love for trees.
You can have a beautiful lawn and be kind to the environment, too. Hi, I'm Melinda Myers, horticulturist and gardening expert. A few simple changes in your lawn care practices, like using Milorganite goof-proof organic fertilizer, can result in a carpet of green, safe for your kids and pets. Proper fertilization can improve your lawn's health and greatly reduce weed problems. Milorganite's organic nitrogen is slow release and won't damage your grass when hot, dry weather arrives. Use Milorganite for better results naturally. Visit Milorganite.com to find a store near you.
Is pain keeping you from enjoying gardening? Dr. Bonnie Flaster at River North Wellness Center has gentle and effective techniques to get you out of pain and back to doing what you love. Here are two quick tips. First, remember to stretch. Second, use a timer to make sure you take breaks. Come see her at River North Wellness Center and find more tips at rivernorthwellness.com or call 312-642-7545 to make an appointment with Dr. Flaster and get back to feeling good.
Why is it that gardeners can't stop asking questions, huh? When do I fertilize? How much water should I prune? Why is it dead? And on and on and on. It's enough to make you reach for Chicagoland Gardening Magazine, which answers a lot of those questions in its Q&A column every issue. In the September-October version, for instance, you'll find out how to keep squirrels. And you were talking about squirrels earlier.
They're the worst.
How to keep squirrels from digging up your prize bulbs. Hint, it does not involve a gun. Whether you need to put rocks or gravel in the bottom of a pot that you're planting. Hint, no. And how to get an orchid to bloom again. Hint, it does not involve flattery. Then there's the Ask the Experts column. In this issue, it's about which trees are best for tough, dry areas. Always a good thing. Finally, there's my column on the inside back page. Hint, wait an hour after eating before you read it. Chicagoland Gardening Magazine on newsstands all over town, or get a subscription. Go to chicagolandgardening.com or call 888-265-3600, 888-265-3600. Oh, no, no, that's not the one I wanted. No. I had a better one. Oh, I put on the wrong.
That one was all right.
No, that was going to be a good one, but this is more fun.
Oh.
And... No, that's not it. No. Wait.
Oh.
Did I put the...
That's a good one, too.
Yeah. No. This is... Oh, that's why I didn't load it. I thought I had it in there. Eject locked? What do you mean it's locked?
Oh, boy.
Oh, come on. You can't do that to me. Hang on, folks. This is live radio.
Yes, it is.
It's been that kind of show.
We thank everybody who's called in today, 773-763-9278, the Mike Novak program. Your calls are greatly appreciated.
We'll be with Snappy J. Dog in just a second here.
Or Snappy J. Dog, either one.
Down at an English fair, one evening I was there, when I heard a showman shouting underneath the flare,
"I got a lovely bunch of coconuts. There they are standing in a row."
Okay, couple of things about this. If I had played this at the top of the second hour, we'd have had calls for the whole hour trying to guess who's singing this.
Yeah, I got it.
Well, except the people would Google it. It's Merv Griffin, okay? And this song was the number one on the charts when Elvis Presley released his first single. So this is where music went from to rock and roll.
Oh,
wow.
My gosh.
Yeah.
What an
and this gets the award for the second worst British accent ever, following only Dick Van Dyke in Mary Poppins.
That was awful.
It was terrible. All right, let's go to the phones. Snappy J Dog is on line two. Hey, Snappy, how are you?
Mike, I'm great. Thank you for having me on.
I know.
Good morning.
You're going to get less time than
Hi, Sarah.
Hi.
Who's also known as Jessica Rinks. And
I know. Every time I hear my Twitter name, I'm like, why did I pick that? It sounds so silly, but whatever. It's with me now forever, I guess.
I think we love it.
Immortalized.
And you're with the Forest Park Community Garden. Next week, you're having a big old fundraiser from 2 to 5 p.m. at Molly Malone's Pub in Forest Park. So what's this all about?
Okay, so this just isn't like your typical fundraiser. I'm so excited about this. We are having an apple pie bake-off, okay?
Woo!
So I think this is, like, first of all, I love pie. Second of all, it's fall, and everybody's into, like, baking their apple thing. So I just, like, I'm so excited, and, you know, I want to invite everybody to come out. We need people to enter the pie contest. We still have some slots open. We need people to buy tickets to attend the event. Tickets are $25 advance purchase for adults, $5 for kids, and you get two drink tickets and you get snacks. There's going to be a silent auction with tons of really great items. Like, we have a Troy Bill snowblower for auction. We have Irv and Shelley Fresh Picks gift card for auction. We have a private canning class for auction. So,
awesome.
Yeah, I'm so excited.
And are you going to enter, Jessica?
Well, you know, we were just talking about it this morning on email, my board members and I. We felt we didn't want to enter and then, like, accidentally win, and people would be like, well,
yeah,
this
that's
is
probably
great.
A good thing. Yeah.
So I think what we might do is we might do a special Battle of the Board.
Okay, well, you know, I am so apologetic. I want people to go to my website because I've just run out of time. But I'm glad to have you on. I'm glad you're doing this. All the proceeds go to the community garden in Forest Park. I think it's wonderful. The link is on my page. I'll put it up on Facebook. And good luck. I hope it goes great.
Thank you so much.
All right, take care. We're done. Go green or
go home.
Yeah, I think that's how that works.